When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich laird.
What am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Harding, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you too long ago and far away, and will bring you back safely. We were going for a hike high in the Rocky Mountains on a warmish winter day. The trail was covered in patches of thick snow, and as we started out, the first uphill climb was slick and slushy. Besides gasping for air, I was sliding around, and there were full portions of the trail that my companion and I grasped hands and pulled each other along. After scrambling up a particularly long hill, I called for a halt to catch my breath, and we stopped and enjoyed the beauty around us. Hiking in the winter is such a vastly different experience than the other seasons. The snow muffles everything. The birds are silent. The rivers are frozen over in deep hibernation. The only sound that afternoon, surrounded by nature, was a subdued hush of the wind through the trees. We moved along as quietly as we could as the trail leveled out. Then my companion paused. Look. There were tracks crossing the trail. Tiny footprints. So incredibly small. Yet we could see the imprint of human toes. The first teller for this episode is Elisa Permain. She's a professional storyteller with over 30 years of experience telling in schools, libraries, churches, and festivals around New England. She's the author of 2 award-winning books, and the story you're about to hear is from her double CD, Forgiveness, Telling Our Stories in New Ways. Elisa is a teacher of storytelling and a licensed therapist, helping adults to hear their own stories in new ways for personal growth and healing. This is the tale, The Kiss.
Here is an old Celtic tale. Once, a king became ill, and it seemed that nothing could save him. But one night he had a dream that there was a well with water so sweet as to cure his illness. He called his 3 grown sons to his bedside and shared his dream, and the sons went out at once in search of this water. The day grew on, and they were lost and thirsty, when they came to a great tree. "Rest here," said the eldest. "I will ride on and look for the water. It's only right," he told himself, "that I find the water and save father. After all, I am the leader of the royal army and sure to inherit the throne." After a while, he came to a meadow and saw on the far side there was a pile of rocks with a rotting trunk of an old tree bent over it. But as he got closer, he saw that it was no tree, but a misshapen hag with hair as coarse and long as a horse's tail, with skin covered with pustules, and she had rotting yellow teeth and small red eyes. The pile of rocks, he saw, formed the remains of an old well, and he could hear the sound of fresh water below. But there was no sign of a bucket or a rope. "How do I reach the water, good woman?" She turned a pitiful face toward him. "A kiss releases it." "A kiss? I'd rather die, woman. Your appearance revolts me." "So be it," she said, walking away. And the king's son returned to the tree and announced that the water was just a dream and not to be found. But the second son decided that it was his duty to go in search of the water. He was, he told himself, after all, second in line for the throne, and even if I don't inherit, I am the brains of the family and sure to be adviser to the king. And he too found the meadow and the old well with the grotesque woman standing guard. She turned a troubled face toward him.
A kiss releases it.
A kiss, he queried, and thinking fast, he made to brush her cheek.
Not the kind of kiss you'd give your auntie for the sweets in her handbag. A real kiss.
A real kiss, woman. I'd rather die. Your neediness revolts me.
So be it.
And he too went away thirsty, and professing that indeed there was no such water. So finally the youngest son set out for the tree. This was the one they called Dreamy, the one who preferred to write poetry, the one that no one thought would amount to much. But he loved his father, and he dearly wanted to save him. At last he too found the well and the loathly lady standing guard, and he heard the sweet sound of the water, and he smelled its fragrance, and his thirst was great. She turned her face of longing toward him.
A kiss releases it.
He could see in her eyes the kind of kiss she needed, but he was very much afraid. What would it mean to embrace one so full of despair and imperfection and need? What would become of him? But what would become of him or his father if he did not? And so the youngest son reached for the face of the hag. I will hold you until your need is fulfilled, woman. And he brought her lips to his. He held her long and deeply until he felt her shift in his arms. And when he opened his eyes, he jumped back, for there where the decrepit hag had been stood a fine woman, tall and confident, a queen in royal attire. And she held in her hands a silver bucket with a rope of golden thread. Drink long, she said, and take what you need. You will never thirst again. And the prince drank the good water, and he felt a strength come into him. He filled the skin for his father. And when he returned to the kingdom, he fed his dying father, who was at once healed. It was the youngest son who went on to rule the kingdom, and he did so with compassion, with courage, and creativity.
Today's fairy tale sponsor is Glass Mountain Outfitters. When adventure calls, or you're getting sent to seek your fortune, you can turn to Glass Mountain Outfitters for all your travel needs. Pop-up tents, waterproof coats, and all the practical items that might be needed to travel into the dark forest or head out across the uncrossable waste. Glass Mountain Outfitters also supplies specialty items like the never-ending goblet of mead, magical animal companions, and invisibility cloaks. Happening now during this special month of February, this month with an extra day, don't miss the sale of the century. Stock up on your favorite traveling rations, and all 7-league boots are deeply discounted. Glass Mountain Outfitters, when adventure calls. This podcast is also brought to you by Simon Brooks Podcast, Conversations with Storytellers. If you're interested in not only the stories, but the storytellers who are the keepers of the tales, then you might want to check out Simon's podcast. He is collecting conversations with those storytellers who are the elders of the community, asking what draws them to traditional tales, what kind of background they come from, and how that influenced their work. Sometimes deep, often fun, always interesting. Conversations with Storytellers brings you closer to those who love and know the stories that you hear. The tiny footprints crossed the path and then back again. We looked at them and commented how the length was no bigger than a thumb, speculating on what the creature could be, or rather couldn't be. It wasn't a rabbit, a mouse, or a fox. It wasn't a bird or a squirrel. It looked tiny, but human, like the tiniest foot. Having no idea what it was, we moved on. Our trail wound through an aspen forest, with some of the trunks showing deep scratches from passing bears. We traveled up on snow-packed trails. Then, coming around a bend, we saw something move through the trees. It was small and wrapped in white fur, but it was humanoid in shape. Striding across the upper level of the snow, we saw its feet tiny and bare. But its feet were on completely backwards, the toes pointing in the other direction that they should be. We watched in silent astonishment as the creature moved further into the trees. I moved slightly to see where it was going, and I stepped off the snow-packed trail and sank deep into the surrounding snow. I was so surprised I yelped, and the little creature turned. Deep green skin and luminescent eyes looked at me for a moment. Then the creature scurried away in the forest, leaving footprints that went in the opposite direction. The second teller for this episode is actually not the one that was expected. You might notice the recording difference in this particular part of the podcast. You see, I'm on a trip. I came to Washington, D.C. to be a part of The Grapevine, which is a monthly storytelling event, and it turns out I didn't have the story that I wanted on my computer. I typed around trying to find it for a while, and then finally texted Simon, who said, "Well, how about you put in my story? Jack John." So you, dear listeners, instead of getting the story that I thought you were going to get, will get Jack John, a sneak peek to Simon Brooks' new CD.
Once upon a time, a long time ago, there was a young lad called Jack John. Now, Jack John, being a lad of his age, would only eat and sleep and 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 eat and sleep some more. And he was eating him and his mother out of house and home. So his mother said, "Jack John, you got to go and find a job." And because Jack John was a good lad, he said, "Okay." And the next day, which was Monday, he went up to the local farm to find himself some work. And a job is what he got. It was a dairy farm, and he worked really, really hard. And at the end of the day, he was given a shiny copper penny to take home. Now, in those long, long, long ago days, a shiny copper penny was a lot of money. And he was so excited that he tossed the coin up in the air and he caught it. And he tossed the coin up in the air and he caught it. Walked all the way back through town, tossing the coin up in the air and catching it. Tossing the coin up in the air and catching it. And he walked over the bridge to get to his home, and he tossed it up in the air and... "Oh, bother! I dropped my coin!" Jack John ran to the end of the bridge, made his way along the side of the river where he thought the coin had dropped, and went searching for it. He walked up to his waist almost, looking for that coin. For that shiny copper penny, maybe it slid beneath the mud, maybe it slipped between two stones, but he could not find it. And when Jack John got home and his mother saw him soaking wet from the waist down, she said, "Jack John, what happened?" "Well, I got paid a whole copper penny for my pay today, Mom." "Well, that's great, Jack John, but why are you soaking wet?" "Well, I was so excited. I was tossing a coin up in the air and catching it. All the way through town, I was tossing it up and catching it. And all the way over the bridge, I tossed it up, and then I never caught it, and it went splosh, and I lost it." "Oh, Jack John, you shouldn't have been tossing the coin up in the air and catching it. You should have put it in your pocket. When you get paid tomorrow, Jack John, put your pay in your pocket." "All right, Mum, I will." And so when Jack John finished his work the next day, he put his pay in his pocket. But he wasn't paid a shiny copper penny. No, he was paid a pitcher of milk. Now, luckily, he had a long coat, and inside of the coat, there was a deep pocket. And so he put that pitcher of milk in the deep pocket. And he was so excited, because a pitcher of milk was worth way more than a penny. He ran and danced all the way home, all the way through the town he danced, all the way over the bridge he danced. And when his mom saw him, she said, "Jack John, did you have an accident?" "No, what? No. Oh, no, that's the milk." "What milk?" "Well, I did what you told me to do, Mom, and I put my pay in my pocket, and it was a pitcher of milk, and it splashed all over my trousers." "Oh, Jack John, you shouldn't have carried the pitcher of milk in your pocket. You should have carried it in your hands." "When you get paid tomorrow, Jack John, carry your pay in your hands." "All right, Mom, I will, I promise." When Jack John worked the next day, he took his pay in his hands. But he wasn't paid a pitcher of milk, nor was he paid a shiny copper penny. He was paid with a cat. Now, it wasn't one of those nice little curl-up-in-your-arm cats, scratch it behind the ear and... It wasn't one of those cats. No, this was a big old barn cat. The kind of cat that when it's hungry, it sits down on its back haunches, shoots out its claws and says, "Where are the mice? Where are the rats? I'm hungry." You know, that kind of cat. So there was Jack John holding this huge cat in his hands. And the cat with its arms over his fingers looked at Jack John. "Nice kitty, good kitty. Nice kitty, good kitty." And Jack John started to make his way home. He walked through the town, and there was a cat. "Ow! Bad kitty! Ow! Stop scratching me, cat! Naughty kitty! Bad kitty! Good kitty! Nice kitty! Stop, kitty!" The cat scratched and bit at Jack John's hands until he couldn't handle it anymore. And then he dropped the cat, and off it went. When Jack got home and his mom saw him, she looked at his hands cut and bleeding. "Jack John, whatever happened?" "Well, I carried my pay home in my hands like you told me, Mom, but I was paid a kitty cat, and it wasn't a nice little furry, curly up in the armsy, purry kitty cat. No, it was a big old barn cat, big old scratchy, bitey cat, and it bited and scratched my hands." "Oh, Jack John, you shouldn't have carried it home in your hands. You should have tied it up with a piece of string. When you get paid tomorrow, Jack John, you tie your pay up with a piece of string and drag it home that way." "All right, Mom, I will." Because Jack John was the only boy in the whole of the universe that ever did what his parents told him to do. So that night he put a ball of string in his pocket to tie his pay up with. And when he got paid, he tied up his pay and started to drag it along behind him. But he wasn't paid a kitty cat. He wasn't even paid a pitcher of milk, and he wasn't paid with a shiny copper penny. He was given a leg of mutton, a sheep's leg, and he dragged it along. "Get away, doggy! That's mine! Get away, kitty cat! That's my pay! Leave it alone!" And Jack John kicked at the cats and the dogs and ran as fast as he could, that piece of meat bouncing along the ground, picking up stones and grit and bits of wood and grass as he went. Through the town he ran, over the bridge he ran, until he got home. I got my pay, Mom. Well, most of it." "Jack John, I'm glad you got most of the pay, but you shouldn't have dragged it along the ground after you. You should have thrown it over your shoulder." "Well, when I get paid tomorrow, Mom, I'll throw it over my shoulder and I'll carry it home that way." "There's a good lad, I know you will." And after she cleaned off the meat, there was plenty enough for a whole stew. And the next day, Jack John went to work, and when he saw his pay, he looked at it. It wasn't a shiny copper penny. It wasn't a pitcher of milk, and it wasn't a kitty cat, barn cat or otherwise, and it wasn't a leg of mutton. It was a donkey, a live donkey. I mean, not a huge donkey, it was a small donkey, but a donkey still. Well, Jack John remembered what his mother had said, and he should throw it over his shoulder. Jack John didn't realize how strong he was as he squatted down, stuck his head under the belly of the beast, put his left arm around the back legs, his right arm around the front legs, and stood up and... Yaw, 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 yaw. The donkey started braying and kicking, and Jack John, "Stop kicking! Stop fighting me, donkey! I got to get you all the way home!" And Jack John started to make his way back home. Now, in the town that he lived, there was a governor, and this governor had a daughter, but the daughter was born without the ability to speak. She was mute. Now, back in those days, as you may or may not know, fathers could tell their daughters who they were going to marry. Love had nothing to do with it. And so the governor, he had put up this proclamation that said, "Whomever can make my daughter talk can marry her." Because no matter how many doctors he'd taken her to, none of them could fix the girl. Now, on that Monday when Jack John was coming home, she had been sitting at the living room window looking out onto the street. And there she saw Jack John walking past. There he was, tossing the penny up and down in the air and catching it. "Oh, he's handsome," she thought to herself. "Oh, and he's got a whole copper penny. He must be rich as well," she thought. And on Tuesday she was sitting there, and she saw Jack John running along, skipping, dancing, and she thought, "Oh, he's handsome, and he's rich, and he can dance as well." She didn't know about the milk that was in his pocket that he was so excited about. And then she saw him the next day with a cat that was scratching and biting at his hands. "Oh, he's handsome and rich and he can dance and he's brave. Look at him. He's not dropping that kitty cat at all." And the next day, she saw him running along through the town with that leg of mutton. And she thought, "Oh, isn't he funny, dragging that leg of mutton behind with all those cats and dogs chasing after him?" And you can bet your bottom dollar that she was sitting there on Friday waiting for Jack John to see what he was up to this day. And she was not disappointed. For there came Jack John, walking, struggling more like, with this donkey on his shoulders, kicking and braying. Well, when she saw this, she burst out laughing. The kind of laugh where snot comes shooting out of your face when a great gust of air comes out. And she cried out loud, "Daddy, look at this boy, he's so funny!" And she cried out and started to tell her father, who came running into the room with surprise that his daughter could talk. She told him all about Jack John, how handsome he was with the copper penny and how funny he'd been and he could dance. Well, the governor, he was a man of his word. And so he went outside and told Jack John to put the donkey down and tie it to a hitching post, which he did. And then the governor invited Jack John into the house and introduced his daughter to Jack John. "When you're old enough, the two of you can be married."
"Thank you, Daddy. Hello."
Well, Jack John's head nearly exploded. You know what 14-year-old boys are like. "Hi." Well, when they were old enough, they were married. But because Jack John's house was so small, the governor said that he could move in to their house. But the governor decided that didn't work out so well, and so he gave Jack John and his daughter a house of their own to live in, and money to set themselves up in business. And Jack John's mother came to live with them. And maybe because of that, they all lived happily ever after. The end.
Thank you for listening to the Story Story Podcast. Show the love. Find Elisa Permain and Jennifer Armstrong on the internet. Tell them you heard them on the podcast and now want to hear them tell more stories. You can connect with the podcast on Facebook or Instagram at Story Story Podcast, or you can connect with me at Rachel Ann Harding. The beautiful brains behind the fairy tale sponsor was Megan Hicks. The inspiration for the true fairy tale was a very beautiful walk on a warmish day this winter. You can see the fairy tale sponsor ads on the Story Story Podcast Instagram and Facebook page. While you are there, let me know the favorite story you have heard or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you'll hear them here soon. This podcast is made possible by patrons like you. Consider becoming a patron or joining the mailing list to get podcast goodies or writing a review on Apple Podcasts, which helps other story lovers find and enjoy the show. You'll hear more stories next week, but until then, live happily ever after.
And Mary-Kate opened up the door, and there, on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs so that he can catch the flea, the fly, and the moth that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day, when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still see the rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music from the royal court.